Dead Room Comedy. Dead Room. Dead Room Comedy. Comedy.
I fucking used to smoke these so much in Spain.
What are they?
What a horrible start to a podcast.
Yeah. I used to smoke these so much in Spain.
Back when I was studying abroad in Spain.
This is now your guys' opportunity to ask me about my study abroad experience.
Okay, my voice doesn't sound like that, but if you guys do want to ask questions.
Have you guys ever been to Europe?
This really is kind of the Q&A portion.
Sure. What was the shortest amount of time you had sex while...
You don't even want to know, dude.
Yeah.
If you're about to have sex, but you come before even having sex, would you count that?
No.
Okay. Having sex.
Did you count that?
I didn't count that as sex, but that happened to me.
You came before you had sex?
Mm-hmm.
Like on the way upstairs or like while during
elevator. Foreplay. Like when we weren't even like, it was the, no, like skin to skin contact even.
No, were you making out or like?
Yeah, yeah.
In your 20s?
Yeah, it was when I was in Spain. I was like 21.
Who was this person?
I don't even. I feel bad for her. It was a horrible experience.
Well, say her name.
Say her name. No. Whoa. Jesus Christ. No, I'm not going to say her name. But I will say that she was a very unfortunate soul, and yes. She had to experience that. So.
Yeah. She was unfortunate because of what you did to her.
But yeah. Well,
the way I said that,
the
made
lack
it sounds
of
like it was
satisfaction.
Like, yeah, it was
probably.
What you didn't
yeah.
do to her.
Yeah. 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 Lack of what I did
yeah,
to her.
It's like
really.
Jazz, right?
Exactly.
It's the sex I didn't have.
Yeah. Speaking of, I'm trying to tell if there's a hickey or a shadow on your neck right now.
Do you have a hickey on your neck?
I don't believe so.
Oh, no, it's a shadow. It's a shadow.
Does Sarah mark you up?
Does she suck your neck?
No, we've been celibate for a while now.
Oh, yeah.
Classic dad joke.
We're getting a dog next week.
Yeah, with the dog coming, we've mostly just been selling our kitchen table to make space for the dog.
Wow. That's really hot, dude.
How much you sell the kitchen table for?
I give it to Goodwill.
Oh.
So we got rid of it.
So you didn't sell it?
No.
So since you're getting a dog now, what did you want to be doing with your life?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
This is a solution to a larger problem. Right.
This is good.
Oh, this is good?
We're good.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah, yeah, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
All right, cool, cool.
I wanted to...
Can I just take a hit of that?
Yeah, just take a hit.
Get a cat.
I haven't smoked a cigarette in a while.
Guys, Jacob's smoking a cigarette on the
it's
podcast.
It's cool, we can smoke it here. Should we say the name of the podcast? Or that we
have wow.
Dessert.
Dessert.
Dessert with
Why is
comedy.
It called dessert?
You don't need it all the time.
That's right.
Special occasions.
Special occasions.
Every once in a while.
Join us when you went to
celebration.
Splurge.
Yeah.
When you want to be naughty a little bit.
Turn down dessert, you know?
If you have it too often, you'll get diabetes. Right,
don't,
Josh?
Don't
I'm
listen.
Okay. I'm Leave thinking I'm going to hold off on the weed for this podcast.
Evan, would
happens.
You like some weed?
Wow, what a hero. He's holding off on the weed with a tequila in his hand.
No.
What this a hero. We want to talk about his girlfriend on the podcast. What a hero.
What a hero. Well, actually, we can talk about how Elliot was a hero. That voting, that was pretty hero-like.
What voting?
Oh, when I voted for
Biden? When you voted
Biden?
For me.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's,
Wait, where was this?
It was at Tune-Up.
Tune-Up,
in
yeah,
Boulder. Shout out Brad Bellinger, one of the funniest skydivers I've ever seen.
God, you felt so dead saying that.
Sorry, he told me to say that, so yeah. I'm just kidding. One of the funniest skydivers I've ever seen. He's an okay comedian. Give it up. I'm just kidding.
I wonder if he's done time while skydiving yet.
That would be funny if he did a sketch where he was like, what's the deal?
What's the deal with hitting the ground?
Yeah. He has to like hit a punchline before he pulls his chute and nobody's
oh,
laughing.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. High stakes, dude.
That would be fun.
Makes it better. Anyway, yeah, Jeff's the best comic in Dead Room Comedy.
So yeah, apparently, for the listeners, Sammy Anzer asked these guys who the best comic in Dead Room was, and Elliot immediately answered me. Yeah.
Well, no, okay, you have to say, I said me, Josh said him,
that's right.
Elliot said Jeff.
And you know what's more upsetting than that Jeff won is that I got zero votes.
Yeah, well, whose fault is that?
I wasn't going to vote for you.
You only have yourself to blame.
Elliot said me, and he's like, he thought Jacob was going to say Elliot.
I thought we were all going to say someone else.
So that's really cute.
That's neat. That's not what type of group this is, though. I feel like we're alphas. Like, you want to be around alphas.
We are all alphas, huh?
Yeah. Well, to Evan, be honest,
Elliot, Josh, Jeff,
me. I answered honestly what I felt in the moment. It's been a couple weeks, and I think things have changed.
Okay.
We're a pack of wolves, and as everybody knows, packs of wolves are all alphas.
All alphas.
Right? We all know that. Yeah.
I thought they were all kings.
We voted to reintroduce all alphas to Colorado.
Yeah, exactly. That was on the ballot, and that's why we started blowing up, because
legalized gay wolf gangs.
Gay wolf gangs.
Kings. Do you say gangs?
And speaking of being alpha, Jeff is on NoFap.
I am on NoFap.
Hey, good for you, man.
Thank you.
Well, are you still having sex with women and men?
Have you not masturbated?
It's been this was a week. Tonight's a week, no masturbation. I feel
my little prodigy.
No, I don't. I think it has to be no ejaculations.
I haven't ejaculated in a week.
That's real.
I don't count that. I just want that's actually a side effect of NoFap. Side effect of NoFap.
Oh, so you were NoFapping in Spain? That's why you came in your pants?
Seriously. That was the reason. 100%. That was the reason. That's the only con of NoFap is that you come in 3.5 seconds. 0.35 seconds, sorry.
That's quick.
You never got in there.
No, I never even got it in there.
Yeah.
But we did have sex.
Afterwards?
After that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the next morning, actually. And guess how? I mean, it was like maybe double the amount of time.
Okay.
Wow.
So
it's
like 14 seconds.
Wow. So she gave you another shot the next morning.
Honestly, it's like one of the most, like, it's like the bane of my existence. Well, and I'm fine talking about it.
That's as much time as you can spend in the paint, dude.
It's crazy. I mean, and, you know, it depends on the girl. Like, if I'm comfortable with a girl, then whatever, you know, I can keep
the fact that she let you sleep over and then gave you another shot in the morning.
She was at my apartment.
At your flat.
She's at me flat eating me crisps, right, with me mates.
Disappointed with my sexual
endeavor. She looked skinny as a rail. She was doing ketamine all night.
Doing ketamine? I came immediately.
I came in my pants before we even started fucking.
Listen, it's because how hot you are, okay, right?
I've used that line so many times.
It's how hot you are or how hot she is.
It's how hot you're making.
Can you say so many times? Do you mean like seven times or like,
no, like three?
Okay, three's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Three is enough.
Anyway, you want to talk about something else?
Yeah, well, I mean, NoFap, last weekend, in this very room, I masturbated so many times.
How many?
Quite a bit.
Three?
A 3-hour session of just edging and then finally coming.
You didn't come for 3 hours?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just jerking it. And just talking to guys on Grindr.
You edged for 3 hours? You don't jack off to porn. You, like, actually get, like, on, like Tinder or Grindr.
You interact with humans. Yeah. That's disgusting.
I know.
It's exhilarating.
We chat back and forth. We do fantasies, and we both come, and we stop.
And you send pics in the meantime?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Did it hit the ceiling? I just, after 3 hours, I feel like.
Not really. No.
Okay. But it was a big explosion.
I appreciate that question.
Hold on. Yeah, yep. I have to yes and the comedy. Yeah, dude, it hit the ceiling. And I had to spend all week cleaning it.
Yes, and it hit the ceiling and the
man,
mirror.
I hope Lisa doesn't listen to this one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, guys, we are at Lisa Lane's house,
dude,
right now.
Just shout out Lisa Lane.
Shout out Lisa Lane.
Is that her last name still?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, recently married? Right?
Recently married.
Hey, mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Cheers.
Hey, salud.
My parents
very happy for.
Again or like,
no? They just did.
Dude, just the idea of you edging for 3 hours,
yeah,
is mind blowing to me.
That's a good time.
It's, yeah, because it's like get a hobby, pastimes. Dude.
That is like I do comedy.
Oh, you have a hobby,
and then you edge.
If I have some free time, and it's been, you know, some it's heartbreak season.
Has it been heartbreak season? It's Leo season, I thought.
I know. It's bleeding over, and it's really throwing me off.
I'm glad that Leo season.
Jeff's like, I either crush or I edge. That's the only thing that
crush and I edge. Crush and I edge. Well, Lisa's got a lot of new sex toys here because of this whole renovation thing.
Is it going to be on Netflix?
Yeah, I think so.
Do we fuck it up if we talk about it the whole time?
Yeah, we can't. We can't, like, talk too much about it.
Can we mention Hulu or no?
No. Oh, God. Well, now we know what to bleep.
Okay.
Yeah, could you mark this down, Evan?
Is it like
we need a bleep at the
don't do a bleep, do like a
of the words I could have like said
a
bleep.
No, not like that. Like, you know the you know the classic like Western guy screaming where it's like do that as what? To cover it. You know what I'm talking about?
I do not get that
classic
reference.
Western. No.
Okay, okay. So you
like
know, no. You know, like in every movie, there's the same scream.
I know it's
like,
not. I know it's not Western though.
But in a it's lot like of SpongeBob, spaghetti westerns, right? You know, like it that. Was in spaghetti. Sorry, it wasn't SpongeBob. It's like I'm having a stroke.
It wasn't. It wasn't spaghetti.
It's like the Heinrich or the Hein. It's not. It's like,
yeah.
It's
the Heinrich yell.
It's like in all the it's in all the Indiana Jones, all the Star Wars,
spaghetti
and
westerns,
and all the Lord of the Rings.
Is it SpongeBob. the TIE fighter sound?
No,
it's Indiana just Jones is not a spaghetti western. Ah!
No, it's I'm like not saying guy, it. Like, I'm not
like,
saying
it's
it was.
Usually someone falling like
or a, blowing up.
It's like yeah. It's something like that.
It's a 14.
I was talking to Michael Isaacs about it. Actually,
were you?
Yeah, well, he was
his name drop right away.
Name drop.
Hey, your best friend.
No. He was talking about like all of the classic sounds that have been recycled for the past like century in film.
Isn't that what was crazy about Star Wars? Is that they made a whole bunch of new sounds for it, right? Uh-huh, like uh-huh. THX, like he created that company for
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah. And I mean, the sound of the TIE fighter. That's you know,
what is
an
it?
An original sound.
What is it though?
And that's what he was going to make
and,
for it.
And then, the lasers.
I don't know. What.
Oh God, use your imagination.
Hey, I did the TIE fighter. You do the fucking laser.
That
doesn't sound like a laser.
That's a gay
laser. TIE fighter, and I'll do the laser.
Dude, if anyone's still listening right now, this is going to be the final. This is the final nail in the coffin. What is? What do you want me to do?
Yeah, do the TIE fighter.
Go!
Yeah, that's a whole battle. That's a whole battle.
Mm. And then we need the scream. Ah! Ha! Oh, that's when someone blows up.
It's crazy that nobody else has done this before. Like that we are
Red Leader. Follow me in Red Leader.
Red Leader.
Red Leader 6.
White Leader. Am I right, guys?
Oh,
did you guys know that George?
It's a Star Wars reference.
Did you guys know that George Lucas was actually black?
Shut up.
I read that somewhere. It was like a Vice article or no. something. It wasn't Vice. It was.
I like that he's still alive.
Oh, what was it?
I like that he's
It was the documentary about how black filmmakers have been accredited to white.
No. It was a BuzzFeed article.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Credible. You're so proud of yourself
Dude,
right now.
The amount of times Jacob's come home and told me about a conversation he had with Michael Isaacs is ridiculous.
What are you talking about? I've had one conversation with Michael Isaacs.
I know.
And we were talking about Tim and Eric.
And three times.
Oh, yeah. I was very proud of that conversation.
Seminal conversation.
I wanted to continue. I told people at work. I told my boss.
You have a crush on Michael Isaacs. Like, comedy
he's a great comic. Yeah.
Maybe a physical crush.
Okay.
But
not a physical crush.
Thank you.
I'm very straight.
What I wanted you to remind me to bring up is the bro crushes.
Oh,
bro
yeah, you want to bring up bro crushes.
Well, as a bisexual, and I'm curious your thoughts on this and also your guys' thoughts.
I'm going to be in the
it's
backyard.
It's been a development in my life where I am so impatient with whatever Jacob's doing.
Yeah, it's like, just hold the pee. I just saw you pee.
I know.
Is this how you live your life? Like,
at least it doesn't disrupt what we're doing. That's
right. That's
that's nice.
At least we don't have to talk about it.
What I've realized is, like, I have crushes.
Jorah, chill, bro.
Damn, that was a growl by Jorah. I don't know if the listeners heard
Maybe
that.
Just
it's cause, no,
Maybe
yeah, it's because Jorah's pretty homophobic, and you started talking about guy crushes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
she's from Alaska, right?
That's Juno.
I hate the gays. She's actually making sound.
Speaking of Star Wars sounds.
Jorah, stop! That hurts.
Wait, do you have the headphones on?
At least we have our fucking clip. God, that hurts.
Yes, you're so mad. That's that dad voice that comes out. That Midwestern dad voice.
It's like, knock it off.
That sounds good.
No.
You think the listeners will like that?
No, it hurts.
Your ears?
It reaches a pitch where it's doing something with the earwax, and it's like clogging my ears further.
I don't have headphones on.
Yeah, but you heard me.
Yeah,
no,
he has a different.
Bro.
Absolutely.
It is different.
All right, well, when you listen to this podcast, don't
We're worry. Talking about bro crushes?
Talk about bro crushes.
I have them.
Okay.
Dude, name drop. Right. Who are you talking about?
No, well, okay, Patrick Richardson.
Okay, you have a bro crush on him?
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's very talented.
Yeah.
Not even, it's just like, what I realize
it's
is
hard
like,
to talk to sometimes.
Very attractive vibe.
I'm intimidated.
What what would be friendship? Like if I met a guy back when I was identified as straight, I met a guy right away and we got along right away. I was like, this is fun. We're friends. But since I've come out as bi and I've accepted that, I view it differently where it's like, oh, this is me like being like attracted to you, not necessarily sexually, but like when we vibe that hard, and maybe it's just like a one-way street, but either way, I vibe with someone really well and I'm like, this is cool, this is really tight.
There's a flirtatious vibe to the conversation. Yeah. I get that.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Yeah, that was Patrick Richardson?
I think so. Is it one-way or two-way?
I think it might be two-way.
Is he bi?
No, it might be two-way though, because Patrick Richardson's a very flirty guy. He's very like, hey man, and then he just like runs up to you and pokes you and runs away.
Yeah, I love that. That's fun.
I enjoy those friendships.
There's other people too. Yeah, yeah. Like my my cousin's husband was one of those guys.
Very physical.
Oh, yeah. I tried to make a bit out of it, but the incest part people never got over. But like I met him and I was like, dude, we just bought, like, we're on the same, like, we're both really into rum right now, and this is tight, man. It's innocent. It's not sexual.
Did you have an incest bit about your sister at one point?
Yeah, I did the one joke the one time, and you guys were there.
Brutal.
Oh, it was dead.
Deafening silence. Violent silence.
Outside.
That was violent.
And then you had to bring up the next guy. You had to bring up the headline.
Yeah, you bring up the headline.
I closed on it.
You know what I do like? I do like a physical bro friendships, like where you know, you're friends, and you're just like,
yeah.
It's good. It's fun.
Did we get another clip?
Oh boy! We sit up for that one.
Let's get some poppers.
Elliot,
is that too far?
Do the joke.
Yeah, do the incest joke.
I'd have to see if I remember it for a second.
I
remember it. No,
don't
I remember
have
it.
To.
Okay, go ahead.
I was walking through Cheeseman Park, and a crazy homeless person came up to me. And she was like, I'm your sister. She yelled that at my face. And I was like, no, you're not. Okay. But I'm like, what if, you know, I'm a what if kind of guy. So I was like, okay, let me hear you out. If you are my sister, let me ask you a question that only my sister would know. If you're my sister, then how big's my dick?
Oof.
Deafening silence.
Yeah.
Deafening.
Hey, let's make some noise for your headliner tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody.
Imagine that. Anyway, this guy's coming in from LA. Give it up.
He was from New York.
What is it? Kenny Garcia.
Kenny Garcia.
Everybody, this guy's coming in. Yeah.
What I liked about the joke was that there was a lot of buildup and a really perverted payoff.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a good experience because it made you a better
comedian.
That was
great for us.
Yeah. No, because it was so funny because it was like 4 seconds of silence, and then we just like I immediately went to the asphalt, dude. I went to the concrete, on the ground.
Yeah,
just concrete.
Because it's a killer joke.
Yeah, it is funny.
You loved it. Yeah.
Well, it was the meta joke.
The whole.
Yeah. The joke was how bad of a joke that is.
When there was like the unnamed comic that like smoked crack and then did a Native American cry.
Totally.
Remember that in The Hangover? When it's like, you know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember this.
You don't remember? You
I feel
were
like you're just
Jeff.
Being offensive right
no,
now.
No, Josh, you were there.
You were there.
Remember, Hangover?
Oh, it was Louis Martinez.
Yeah, you can just say it. Louis Martinez. He was like, I don't know. And I was like, this is the most...
Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah.
I forgot all about that. I forgot that we can bleep out his name later, but like
it doesn't matter. This is 16 minutes in, so nobody's gonna be
listening. All done by now.
Yeah.
Well, no, let's give the preview of the synopsis.
What do you mean?
The synopsis of this podcast will say like they're recording after their show at Rise. So let's talk about how the show at Rise went tonight, boys. We just performed.
It was very good.
It was B average.
It was a great crowd when I went out.
We should be less honest and more like hyping it up as if we did really well.
No, it was good.
I will say, so Eland, after the show, when we were leaving, he said to us as he's driving by us, he was like, this is the first time I felt anything doing comedy in a long time, and I appreciate you boys, and I feel that you should be successful in the show. Wish the best. And then he drove off.
That's more sad for him, but really complimentary for us.
I was focusing on
the complimentary.
Kind of disheartening.
I'm just concerned that he hasn't felt anything from comedy for a while. I hope he does.
He's very funny. It's a job. Yeah. You know, sometimes it doesn't feel great.
Right.
But...
I mean, yeah, we've been performing a lot. Do you guys find yourself feeling less and less than you thought you'd feel after getting all these spots?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with any drug. It's like you just get a tolerance, you know? Like, because remember, like, when you first started comedy and, like, when you would crush, it was like fucking speedball of, like...
That was your month.
Being relieved that it was done, but also adrenaline and everything. And then as it gone, like it went on, you know.
Especially just, in Durango, when they like have laugh therapy once a month, and you do laugh therapy. Yeah. Oh.
Dude, it's almost like it was almost like you just did heroin once a month. You're like, exactly. Cool. Let me go hurry up, bro.
No, seriously, that was like honestly one of the best rooms I've ever done.
Yeah. Jeff relapsing, love it. Are those boozy?
No.
Oh.
You were just like cool with
him. I just drank alcohol.
Then you were gonna stop him.
No.
You were like, you were just gonna let him do it.
You were like, damn, he's relaxing.
I'm stoked to be here because someone sold me one of those for like $10 each because they said there was booze in them.
No,
I feel like you're lying to cover up.
Lying to cover up the fact.
No, dude, someone sold me one of those because they said that had weed in it.
Dude, literally, who gives a shit? Okay, we were talking about honestly, we were talking about Rise, right?
Yes.
Okay, so everyone thought it was a B average show.
I give it an A minus.
A minus. Okay. I think it was a good crowd.
89 to 92.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Would have been sick if there was 100 people there.
Would have been sick. Sundays are hard to sell.
But a fire hazard.
Is that the capacity? What's the capacity Rise? It's about 100, right?
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Yeah, 150.
Yeah.
What? 150 in there?
Nah, I just keep making up.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say that's insane.
Yeah, Josh is the liar, right, guys?
No, it was great having a show there. The tech was amazing.
Yeah, there's so many buttons to press.
So many buttons to press.
Yeah.
Those fucking proscenium lights that were on the during the Coney Island Bay.
I wish we kind of got that recorded from the back, just because I wanted to see us do it with the lights going around it.
Yeah,
it would have been fun. We can't see them over.
Well, I think Kelsey Wood. She was. I saw her holding up her phone like she was recording.
Cool.
So.
Let's check her Instagram story later.
Yeah.
Were the lights on the whole time? We're doing the music number?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, the flashing bulb lights were on the frame of the stage.
That's fun. I like doing the music number.
Yeah.
It's a good room, too.
It is a good room. It's compact. It's tight.
And it has the ability to do the fun tech stuff that you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did feel a little thirsty after the show because, like, I was talking to everyone that worked there. Like, they're like, great job, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, we just love this venue. We'd really love to keep
doing
put in a good word for us with the.
They did say they were going to be there, and they weren't there. And so
the guys we talked
to. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Boss Man.
Oh, well.
Whatever.
Well, then you know, they'll just hear all this great feedback.
Mm-hmm. It was a great show.
One thing I will mention is that one person walked out during Kate's trouble set.
Oh, yeah. Things come up, dude.
Was it?
She probably got a divorce like during that time because that's the only way that she would walk out.
It was like a bathroom or a drink run. It was.
Oh no, the staff were talking about it. She just like walked out and like left.
Yeah, dude. Maybe she left her fucking oven on and just remembered. You know,
dude.
Remember.
Her entire family probably got murdered.
Oh, I want to make it very clear. Kate Strobel fucking. She
crushed.
Great.
Absolutely.
And then she took the concept really well and did this whole inner monologue thing that I thought like artistically was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to make that very clear. This is not on Kate Strobel at all. This is on that person.
Right.
Dude, and if one person leaves, like, why are you there alone anyway?
Right.
Yeah.
Did you just pop in?
Yeah, it's probably some loner that was going to like shoot up a school or something.
Yeah.
And we saved a school.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Dude,
seriously.
We're heroes. That's
I mean, like,
We prevented 9/12.
Exactly. Like a movie theater or something. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So stop talking about venues that are getting shot up.
Nail salon.
At least we didn't. I was going to say at least we didn't, but I'm really proud of the two people we walked in Greeley.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think we knew that on the last time we recorded. I don't think we talked about that. But
when did we walk them? At what point?
I don't know. But
probably during the buy material.
People that gave the feedback?
Yeah.
I thought they gave feedback, but they stayed the whole time.
Maybe they stayed the whole time.
They could have stayed the whole time.
That'd be funnier if they're like, I hate this. I'm going to wait till the end and tell someone.
And then to get their money back. Yeah. Yeah, because they said the show was, quote, too bisexual.
Too bisexual.
Too bisexual.
Well, you know what? I agree. Honestly,
I agree. Hey, Josh and I are on the same boat. That show is way too bisexual.
Oh my
you guys
gosh.
Need
so
to...
many bisexual God. People. Jesus.
Well, and when it's just Ellie and I, it's no problem. But then we had Colton Darling and Lizzie Wilson. And so, you know, that we didn't,
It was 4 out of 6.
We didn't put a pride flag on the poster. And so when we start talking about, you know, that kind of stuff, we're giving people different expectations.
Well, we should
really stop putting the Confederate flag on the poster. I think that's what's
happening. That's probably true. We just wanted to appeal to Greeley.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Come to our show. It's about the war of Northern aggression.
Come to our show and don't tread on me. Am I using that right? I don't know if I fully get
Despicable Me 1864, The War of Northern Aggression. Go to YouTube right now, pause the podcast, and watch Dead Room's best sketch.
First comment gets a free t-shirt.
Oh, we should start doing shit like that. Like, you know, first comment gets a pair of one of our underwears.
Like, okay.
That would be cool. Yeah. I mean, fuck it. Why? Like, I mean, we could do weird shit like
would
that.
Would you take
like,
a picture of it or like, oh, take yeah. you like,
I would get, I would,
like,
dude,
take
I would.
It off and then like a video of you taking it off and then putting it into the bag.
Oh, yeah.
And then
oh,
sending
yeah.
it off to them.
Wait, I would get a video of like me eating Indian food and then like having it like pass through and then have the sounds of me pooping or whatever. And then,
like,
you know.
Pooping your pants?
No, not pooping the pants, but like
that
signify
pooped, yeah.
that there was some musty stuff going on.
Yeah.
Before I sell the.
Or we could panties. Just do the honor system. But
yeah,
I like your idea.
Well, content's content.
Dude, we should start selling dead room bathwater. That would be.
That'd be great.
That's great. I love
wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't
that be funny? Just bottle it up. Yeah, absolutely.
I do think that the e-girl that started doing that, she got, she had like a thing with the FDA. So we might want to look into that.
What if we called it toaster bathwater?
I don't know,
how you have like an update to the e-girl.
I know. I don't know why I brought it up because it might not be legal, but.
What, you selling bathwater?
Yeah.
What, fucking
what do we do
the
by donation?
This if we can't sell
donating bathwater.
We give free bathwater, suggested donation.
Of okay. $45.
I'm down with that.
At our show. We have one
dude,
bottle
but
of
we
each
really
of our
do
bathwater.
Have to like all get in a bath together.
No, it's like, oh yeah, we all take turns in the same bath.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
sell one bottle.
Or like two people.
I don't like
at
to take turns. Let's all get in the bath together.
We don't have a bath that big.
We could all dip our asses in that bath.
Or like a hot tub.
Yeah,
maybe?
Doesn't
like,
at least have okay. a hot tub.
Oh, that's fun. Like we just like four asses over the lip of mm-hmm. it, and then just all dip our asses in it, and then we bottle up that. That's money. That's pretty
yeah,
money.
Let's sell our poop. I agree. Yeah.
It's not poop.
Is that what we're coming?
It's
in?
Just the water that has been lucky enough to be graced by all of our ass cheeks.
Okay.
I feel like just because it's not your fetish doesn't mean that it's not like people aren't going to buy it. You know?
No, I just thought we were on the
beyond.
I thought we were on the train to selling our poop,
dude. I'm you know
I was skipping steps.
There's a market for everything.
Yeah.
The hot tub reminds me of this idea. I've messaged in the group, and Jake and I have talked about it a little more because we live together. But the idea of going to an Airbnb for a New Year's thing and doing a New Year's show where we like sell like $100 tickets, where you, like you stay the night, you get a free show, free booze. But then we sell like 10 tickets to like close friends, and like they each pay $100 to get a comedy show, a stay for New Year's Eve in an Airbnb.
I mean, it sounds fun.
Yeah,
sounds
yeah.
fun.
Absolutely. I would say, I mean, you can get Airbnbs that like sleep 16 people. So like we could sell and
thinking,
we could sell like 20 tickets
because it could be
make
like
2K,
all of the four of us,
and that
then,
would like cover.
Yeah.
Because there's like Airbnb rentals that are like $1,000 a night or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. You're thinking like Vail or Aspen or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like yeah. a very bougie,
especially
place.
For Breckenridge. Like
I probably wouldn't say Aspen. Maybe somewhere closer to Denver.
Is a, you know.
Yeah, Breck. Yeah, Breck would be fine.
Okay. You know what I'd like also that. Like to do is I'd like to do that for like New Year's, but then like either the day before, like have a show in an actual venue too for
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you have the venue, and then you have a show at the Airbnb too.
Yes.
So you have like
yeah.
both experiences, but you spend the whole weekend in Vail or Aspen fun. Or something like that.
Yeah,
like that's
yeah.
for New Year's.
Yes.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, that's a lot of cocaine. Like you understand?
That was literally Jeff's motivation
yeah.
for doing it.
No,
he wouldn't give a you, he wouldn't give a fuck if it was.
Hey man, we started last year with cocaine.
I don't know.
You know?
Hey, listen, I don't do that shit anymore, man. I don't. You know,
we're only on New Year's, man.
No. Only on New Year's, because what better way to bring in the new year
on Euphoria
than
borrowing
just
happiness
do it,
from
yeah,
tomorrow?
Yeah,
talking
than
about
just
how
by
much
doing
we...
a drug that just ruins communities and nature,
and then it's
1:30 a.m.
and we're talking about how much we love doing comedy,
And then I just bring up Palestine, and it just goes into
yeah.
the big thing.
You bring your girl back to the room, you can't get it up, you know?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Fucking great way to start the year.
Cocaine's a great drug if you're trying to get laid and then you end up talking about Israel and Palestine with a girl
yeah.
in a hotel room at 3 in the morning.
Yeah. Nothing specific, though.
Nothing
specific. That sounds like
she doesn't know anything about it, and you're just like, well, let me tell you.
It's better when she doesn't know anything.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Can, like,
because
you
just dominate the conversation.
Exactly.
You just put on a YouTube video and you go in the bathroom and do more coke.
I'll be back in 20. Woo!
I take Adderall so I can talk over women faster and louder.
It's like a superpower misogynist.
Yeah, I just saw that somewhere, and I was like, that's not okay, but that's kind of funny.
That's me. That's my whole personality.
Yeah.
I do. Oh. What are you
going to say? Rest in peace, Trevor Moore.
Well, I was just saying, with the Dead Inside shows, I've been liking them, but I'm ready to move on to a new theme.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So we got the comedy for it.
next Sunday, a week from tonight.
Yeah.
And then we have it in Durango.
Four Corners Comedy Festival.
That might be the final debut.
Yeah. Unless we do it at Buffalo Rose, but we'll see.
Maybe.
He hasn't gotten back with a date, and that's a lot of tickets to try to sell when we haven't been able to sell these tickets, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm sort of okay with letting that sort of like, if he doesn't get back to me, not hitting him back up. You guys feel okay by that?
Yeah, that's fine.
That's the kind of show where we like do dead inside. We do an abbreviated dead inside beforehand.
Yeah.
And then we have like a Adam Caden Holland headline.
Yeah.
You know, like somewhere like that. And then that's who sells the tickets and we get a flavor of our show.
We would have to have a name. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Some, definitely a name. So that's something to think about. It's like a Western bar. There's like, you know, like they sell barbecue and stuff. And
I really wanted to do it because it's the first show venue in Colorado. And there's
the oldest, yeah.
The oldest, the first one and the oldest, mm-hmm. and it's still running today. And it's so beautiful. And Golden's not that far away. It's a lovely town. And I just, like, I like the romance of it, but we like not doing it doesn't mean that we're not going to do it in the future.
Right.
Yeah. That's like we're still creating a base that our ceiling, there is no ceiling for us. Yeah. That's what I love most about this.
Thanks, yeah. God.
No, seriously. Yeah.
Super tight.
At a place like that, that would be kind of fun if we started the show by like all doing, we're all on stage. We have four mics. We're just all doing comedy together. And we just show like four sketches and let people get drinks and sit down and stuff like that. And then we have like a feature and a headliner.
It sounds chaotic.
We're all doing like our sets at the same time.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Sketches are playing.
Yeah. And sketches are playing.
Hear me out. We get a drone. That's inside also.
But we amp up the bass on all of our sketches, so it's just like. That would be fun.
Well, I've been telling Josh I want to do like I do want to get a kind of show format, so maybe that's like the next step after Dead Inside is to get a show where we're like where we do give an audience where we're all on stage together.
That's fun.
And we're all talking, and I think it's really easy to like, we're all like bannering whatever, and it's like a basement hang. We give it that flavor, bring out the carpet and put it down and stuff like that, and then
the rug from the basement. Rug.
Yeah, yeah, it sets the vibe, and then from there
in the couch.
Yeah, we like step forward and like tell some joke, like someone does like 5 minutes. One of us
and the TV
and the TV, all of it.
What if we invite people to the? let's bring the basement.
we should just like bring the TV and just watch.
I like
YouTube
that. No, I like that, Jeff. Actually. We're all just bantering, and then someone's like, all right, yeah. you do your five,
yeah,
and then we sit back and watch them do it.
Yeah,
it's fun, and it should be like kind of like a new material showcase type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that is one thing I noticed.
Because you get the feedback from you assholes behind us too.
Yes, yes,
that'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah, it's one thing I noticed with the Dead Inside run through tonight is that so we have the guests and stuff, but we're not all on stage kind of chaotically at the beginning. Chaotically at the end, but there's nothing like I think we need to keep doing a better job of like, oh, I'm Josh, I'm Jacob, I'm, you know, like, or the you know, give the core, we're the core members of Dead Room, and just like kind of give a little more of like getting people in on the joke and in on us.
Hi, I'm Jacob. That's what I should say.
Yeah, and you know, be yourself up there and have fun.
Hi, I'm Jacob. I'm being myself and having fun.
My legs are sore because I did squats 2 days ago.
I did squats. That's what Elon told me I should go up with. He's like, how are you feeling? I was like, my legs hurt. He's like, start with that. I was like, no.
Start with
I'm not going to start complaining about my legs.
But that's what he does. He does so many sets that he has to
I know that he's just like, he just starts talking about how he's feeling.
Yeah.
I want to get to that point, but.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We talk about what Kate
right
did
now
with
I
the
just
theme.
Suffer.
I loved what Elon did with the theme too, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, yeah, what did he do for his set?
Two parts. He did the first part where he brought out the book and he just read the back of the book, and it was this insane like book premise. And then he did material in the middle, and he ended talking about his grandmother dying and how he doesn't know, like he doesn't feel sad.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know if he should feel sad now or if he's gonna feel sad later.
Oh,
but
wow.
Really, like when he like tries to focus on it, he ends up just feeling like overwhelmed but not sad.
Wow.
And it was really an interesting sort of dynamic. Yeah. It was,
part of the
it was
hard
beautiful.
Part is knowing how to feel. That.
Yeah. Like yeah. And I was talking to him afterwards. He's like, yeah, like I really like what you guys have like created, like the kind of space to tell this kind of material. Because he's like, I haven't really told anyone about my grandma yet. And And I'm like, yeah. And also, like, because I talked about my grandma too. And I'm like, you know, your set reminded me that I need to remind the audience that I loved my grandma. That I love this woman and that she helped raise me and that, you know, we had such a great relationship.
That
and
then
I'm
stakes.
Just shitting on her for
yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That the reason, like, part of why you're shitting on her is because you're so angry that you couldn't share an essential part
yeah.
of who you are to her because. There's like she's imperfect.
Yeah,
right.
100%. Yeah, completely. That's like that was
fucking
that,
heavy, dude.
Yeah, the imperfectness that came out in our phone calls in last year was like, it was like, I like there was a that phone call when I called after the election when she was talking about like how Jeffrey the Bible says like homosexuality. That was the first time like homosexuality was an abomination. That was the first time where I felt this feeling where I was like, oh, I feel like I'm like 8 years old again. And I'm like getting scolded by someone, and I feel so much shame. And I'm like,
really?
I haven't felt like I've been so myself out here, and it's been great. I love Denver and like
right.
just the freedom. But so it's just why I haven't felt that, and so that feeling was like, I was like, oh shit, there's some unresolved shit here, and then also yeah, this person that I love so much, and that I'm like making a point to call as often as I can because I know she's gonna go. Really imperfect.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, right.
They twist off, JJ. Good point, JJ.
Oh, really? Do they?
Yeah.
Do they not?
No.
My bad.
This is a weird segue out of what you just said, JJ.
Yeah, it is.
It's just hard to watch him struggle.
Yeah.
You're very right. Do you...
I got it.
...think there's... I lost it. Proceed. Okay.
No, I there is a sense of the people that are most important to us are imperfect, but they can still love you perfectly, right? Does that
yeah.
make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
It is tough that the idea of your sexuality, which is such an important part of all of our identities, is yeah. how we sort of express love physically.
Yeah.
You can't share that with somebody that's so important with you just because it would make it worse, right? Yes,
it would. And it's why I love my relationship with Lisa Lane is because it's like she's very like a mother figure mm-hmm. and I can just fucking talk about whatever and just like whatever.
Because
when I'm with my mom, when I'm talking to my mom, it's just there's just like 80% of me is not there. And it's just this 20% that is...
And it's like a shallow version of Jeff that you hate.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. No, my sister's actually going through that with my dad right now. Like, I was talking to my dad, and he was like, she's shallow. She's just like, I can't get anything. And it's like, she's shallow because the worst parts of her past 5 years she's not sharing with you because she's scared about what you're going to think about her. Yeah. And so she's trying to present something to you because she's scared of the repercussions. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes.
Fuck.
That's tough, right?
Yes. Yeah. And that's what I was going to say when I forgot. God, is like do you ever have like it's a fucked up thought in your head but you're like, you know what would be easier than going through this extremely difficult conversation of me being honest with who I am to this person I care about when I know they're not going to accept it? Would it be easier if I just waited till they died?
Yeah.
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 And you're like, oh, that yeah, would definitely. Be easier, but then you live with that guilt that's inside yes. you. You can't just get
yeah, but,
away from that.
But also that guilt is like you made that decision and like I do honestly think that when you don't say some things, that's the best decision.
Yes.
Sometimes. I
mean, yeah, sometimes.
A wise man once said nothing at all, to quote Drake. But also,
that's not Drake.
I swear to God. Oh my God. Yes, it is. Scorpion, the album. Emotionless. Emotionless. Track four. And
track four.
To quote Kanye on his new Donda album, he opens the album saying, I'd rather deal with the shame than the weight of the lie.
Eesh.
So very, you know, there's
conflicting opinions.
Right.
Yes.
Well, and you feel bad about it, but you realize your parents probably did the same thing.
Yeah.
There's probably things they never told their parents that they were ashamed about, and they feel guilty about it now, and their parents are dead, and they don't know how to resolve it.
Yeah.
And you feel the same, and you're like, oh, I'll just do the same thing. And you're like, man, like, I just want to be honest with people about everything.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, man, life's tough, dude.
Life is tough, man. Yeah, so yeah, my mom was bipolar, and then my grandma was bipolar, but in Navajo, which is crazy.
Damn.
So just like
Navajo,
you're right? Yeah, just so.
Was I supposed to laugh there? Because that's funny.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay,
but the idea that like so like my dad's big excuse always when he's like parenting us is that I had nobody to show me. His father left him. His biological dad left him when he was 2, and then his mom died when he was 23, and so he's been an adult orphan this entire time. So it's like when and he had us when we were 23. And so, like, bringing us up, he's like, I had nobody to teach me how to be a parent. And so this is the best I do. And then I think about that. It's like, how can you hate on that? That's like people are imperfect all the time. And it's so complicated to, like, develop a real relationship with somebody. It's so complicated to be a parent figure, to take it seriously, that there's just all, like, with these imperfect people, like, one of the best ways to love somebody is to be patient with somebody that is sort of has that hate that they can't sort of let go. Like not telling your grandmother is an act of love.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it hurts you, but it's loving her. Yeah. Right.
And it's so there, and then there's a middle ground of that with is where I'm with my parents, where they know and they've accepted it, but it's like, it, like, I still, like, so I told them that I'm really excited because I'm starting this new show with a very established comic, Andy Main, whatever, and it's gonna be at this great bar that's a comics bar, and so it's gonna be really good. Like, it's like a next step. And then I told that to my mom, and then my dad's like, yeah, I heard about this new show you got. And then I'm like, yeah. And then he's like, what's it about? I'm like, well, it's a bi show, and it's called The Bi Agenda. And then it's just, I hear in his voice go from like, hey, what's this new show? What's that? Oh.
Yeah, because it makes them feel uncomfortable, yes, right?
Yeah. So I still just feel that moment, and I'm like, we're working through it.
Honestly, that's beautiful to me. Yeah. Like, the fact that it's not closed down and you're working through it is because you can't expect people to instantly accept you when their entire life has been something else.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because I remember, like growing up, there's a distinct, my dad talked about his gap year between high school and college and how his mom encouraged him to be a model. And so he went down and got this photograph session with this guy. And then he just kept talking about how the guy that the photographer kept wanting him to do, like, gay stuff, and he's like, and all the people there were gay, and he's like, it just was like, I'm like, this is not for me. I need to go to school and blah blah blah. And
where the straights are,
yeah,
college.
Where the straights are, college. They get an education, not all this gay art shit.
And then, like, you're in college, like, whatever many decades later, and you're just putting a fucking cucumber your ass in fucking Italy.
Yep. And then I'm just thinking, like, yeah, man, I'm that the one thing leads to another.
So I have a question. If so,
cucumber doesn't fall far from the tree. It's my ass.
If what you said, I agree. I think this is true. That Jeff not telling his grandma was an act of love.
Yes.
Is you telling your parents when you know it's going to be controversial? Is that like the opposite? Is that you asking to receive love?
No, that's working through some stuff.
It's an act of love in a different way. It's because I know my dad's contentious relationship with his parents, and I know, like, and I know our contentious relationship with our grandparents, and it's so he knows that, and he and I've seen him put in the work of, like, 2 years ago when I got sober, he stopped drinking, and all of a sudden when we both stopped drinking, I'm like, there's no fucking fighting anymore. It's amazing how it's just alcohol. Now we're like having patient conversations with our differences and finding common ground and latching onto the common ground. So he's been really open to growth in that way and open to conversations, like, politically that I'd, like, 5 years ago, I would be amazed. And he's got new perspectives on things. And so knowing that he's very invested in and having a healthy relationship with his children, which his parents don't have with him, I know that if I'm going to have, if it's going to be a two-way street, I've got to be honest about this shit and upfront about this shit. And be truthful about how, like, the environment and the language around these things that have come to define me was damaging, and yet I'm willing to, like, have a conversation.
Right, and forgive.
And forgiveness is on the table. Yeah.
Him and yourself, right? Because at some point, you were probably homophobic and not knowing it because you didn't identify with that community at all.
Yeah, and I'm still homophobic in a lot of ways.
I noticed.
100%. Yeah. Like, it's like the whole DaBaby, like all these, like, he's in hot water because he did that whole rant on gay people in the parking lot of his shows and AIDS and stuff. And while that's horrible and an education is needed on the topic, that's coming from, like, I'm attracted to men, and yet I still am afraid of AIDS, and it's just so, like, in these things we've come so far with science, but there's all that dogma that was pounded into me as a kid.
But you know that like AIDS is just as common in straight relations as it is
100%.
Gay.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, it's not a gay disease.
It's not about knowing.
It's not a gay disease.
Yeah. It's about dealing with that conflict in yourself, dude. I follow, like, some really gay people on Instagram, and I'll, like, see their Instagram story, and I'm like, don't be that gay. Like, it annoys me. And I'm know. Like, fuck. And it's I just should be like, supportive.
Yes.
That's how I feel about Israelis.
Me about NATO's, too. Yeah. I mean, like, that's I'm too just like,
you don't have to take over the West Bank, dude. All right. Just like, come
not
on.
Everything is colonization, yes. All right? That's
yeah, exactly.
Some of it's our territory.
Which is land swap.
Yeah. Oh, man. Do you ever feel that way about, like, your dad in terms of, like, do you feel any pressure to be successful?
Oh, 100%. And my sister's so fucking successful. And, like, you know, my dad is, like, very, I don't know, very neurotic and a classic old Jewish man. And, I don't know.
Yeah, he joined the, like, the anti, like...
He's like, literally a seat member at the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League.
But they also seem very supportive of what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I have no complaints about my family relations. I mean, like, my parents fight a lot, but, like, besides that, like, we're a very tight-knit family, and we're very trusting.
I've seen your mom's left hook, dude. It's good shit.
Yeah. But, like, they know, like, but, the, like, I'm very, it's the same thing with, like, your family, where it's, like, I'm very open with them about drug use, and, you know, like, they know that, like, I experiment with, like, vapors. Stimulants and, like, cocaine and whatever. But they also trust me, and they know that, you know.
Oh, that's wild. So you're open with the cocaine with your parents?
Yeah, probably. I mean, they can listen to this. Probably not to the extent that they know, but it's.
But I don't think I've ever seen you, like, lie to your parents about something.
I mean, you know, I've lied to them plenty of times, but like, yeah, no, but like at this, it's really kind of cool because like my family, my sister and I, for most of our adolescence, like we were very at odds. But then as, like, literally, like, right when I got to college, we all became adults, and we were, like, more of, like, kind of a friendship unit as well, and that really kind of came out more when we all became adults, and we were all independent.
You mean, like, you and your parents, or you and your sister?
All of us. All, when we were all independent, my sister moved out, I moved out, you know,
when you guys became a family.
My dad was always like very secretive of his stories of his childhood and his like adolescence and everything. I'm not going to go into it on a podcast. He would literally murder me. But I'm glad that I got a Glock 19.
Yeah,
yeah.
Why? Was it make
because
you feel like
you
a
know
man?
I haven't used it since the election. I haven't what? Literally since the siege on the Capitol. Just kidding. No.
You were so pumped up for the election last year.
I know.
That from like 3 months out, he's like, dude, we're fucking 2.5 months away from like decimation of society.
Dude, look what happened. Look what happened, dude. Honestly, I was watching a documentary about the siege on the Capitol, January 6th today. I completely underestimated how huge it was. It was like people were coming in from the West and the East End. I don't know. It was just
massive. What about the North and the South?
Shut up. But the second, dude, it was like, I never realized how close Congress members were to actually getting like, you know, fucking zip tied and murdered or whatever. But
oh, yeah. They were right down the hall.
Very fucking
dude,
close.
And it's fun that it was just like people that were like, I work at TJ Maxx, but I'm also here this weekend.
No, not even. I mean, there's, yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people showed up and they were like, this is like, it just escalated.
No, I mean, there was like people that, I mean, there was like militias like that were in squads
right. Yeah,
ready
no,
to fucking.
I'm not denying that, but I'm also saying there was people that were there that were also like, this will be fun. And then they were like, oh, we're in? Like,
yeah.
There was definitely,
there was definitely
people that were like, whoa, like I didn't even bring enough zip ties for this shit.
It's crazy because there should have been a larger retaliation force against the people storming the Capitol because there's policymakers in there.
Yep.
And the fact.
They're severely understaffed.
Well, exactly. And the fact that they're white, right? There's like this, like a big example of like what white privilege means in terms 100%. Of violent like demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It seemed like there was more military and police presence in like Denver.
100%.
During
I remember like the protests and just, it's just like just a bunch of SWAT team members and then just a bunch of military trucks just coming in a line straight at.
Yep.
And then they were shooting everybody with paintball
indiscriminately.
Bullets and rubber bullets. Everybody.
We weren't even near a Capitol building. Like, we weren't even near.
Well, we were near the state Capitol.
We were near the state Capitol, but like in terms of.
We weren't charging it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, relatively.
We were on the street.
Yeah, like, we were on the street. We were like a block away.
Yeah.
You know?
It's fun to just run around and let the tear gas hit you and you're like, this block's bad. And then you just like keep running, go somewhere else?
Yeah, they were doing that like whole military tactic of just pushing us back, pushing mm-hmm. everyone back into the neighborhoods and dispersing.
And
yeah.
then when they pushed it back, they had these roaming, like just SWAT team members just picking up everybody, yeah. either like arresting them or like telling them to move. But there's just groups of people. So like
they were on armored trucks.
Absolutely. Just yeah. walking
police,
around.
Police were coming in from Broadway and Lincoln, like east into Cap Hill, and the yeah. National Guard was in Cap Hill,
yeah.
like,
right.
moving west.
I remember after you guys went back to the apartment, I was actually right next to your mom's house, like in that street or in that that
Pearl,
corridor,
Pearl and
13th. The venue, no, literally my mom's house.
Yeah, the venue. But yeah, there was like a SWAT team fucking armored truck that pulled up like right next to me, and like I was hiding behind this car, and they were just like firing fucking like rubber bullets, and it was crazy.
And who are those dudes? Those are just guys that like went to school or whatever, like, you know what I mean? Like, who,
you know, that they had to be psyched. Like I'm not on the side of police or whatever, but I would love to just like wrangle on the side of a fucking armored car and shoot paintballs at people.
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
Yeah, that would be
so fun.
An armored truck,
unbelievably.
I'm signing up. Yeah, for sure.
Dude, it was just like the punter that like didn't get enough game time and got hit too often, and he's like, "My turn."
And it's like, especially like I'm not Republican, but if you were and you were like shooting a bunch of people of opposite political views, like with a bunch of rubber bullets,
yeah.
Yeah,
and I love the way you started that story, where you're like, after you guys all went back to the apartment, after you guys gave up for the night, after I kept going because I have more heart than you guys.
After I poured milk into this protester's eyes, and you guys were at the apartment,
I got shot with a rubber bullet.
Yeah, you did.
I resuscitated.
Yeah,
a squirrel, man.
What,
during the protest, man? It got hit.
You got
again, Elliot.
Is this true?
He was third time tonight, a hero.
He was he was a neutral, bro.
Jacob, is this your second piss?
Yeah.
Wow.
What's wrong?
You're going to say let Jorah out while the door's free?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I don't know about Jorah. I think he's fine.
I think he's chilling.
Yeah, he's going to chill.
I can't tell what he wants, but every time I reach for him, he growls.
Whoa. Hey, Jorah. Bud. No Jorah. Nipping. No nipping.
Maybe he does feel a little caged. Oh, well.
Let's let him out.
He's fine.
He is talkative, for sure.
Yeah, he's very talkative.
Dude, man. I'd be pissed off if I had like a tumor removed and it was just like an open wound on my back.
So it's not removed yet. The tumor itself is an open wound.
Really? What does that mean?
I don't know. Like, he was either picking at it or too much, or just like became like a sore and then it scabbed and then it.
Oh, so he hasn't had a resurgence?
No, so surgery's coming this week.
Wow.
They just didn't want me to have to deal with like bandages and medicine while.
Where are they at?
I was working. They're in Washington State for a reunion, family reunion.
For the protests?
Okay.
Yeah. Lisa's big.
Did you just go pee in her yard? That's so funny.
You think of all the people...
Yeah, backyard's for pissing.
Of all the people that...
Toilet's for pooping.
Of all the people that flew to Washington for the protests, do you think there was one person that booked the wrong plane ticket and just ended up in Washington State?
100%.
Oh, see ya!
At least six.
No!
At least six. They showed up with like bear mace and
they're in Olympus. Yeah, they're like, ah, oh, god damn it! That's and funny. they're still at the Capitol.
Yeah, you know, the trying to bring down Zeus.
Washington State Capitol.
Yeah, Washington State Capitol. They're like, where is everybody?
FaceTiming the rest of their friends that are actually at the right place. Like, fight the good fight, brother.
God, that's funny. Where the fuck are you guys? So one thing the logistics thing. Talk through next Sunday. I work till like 4:30 or whatever.
Oh yeah.
You guys just want to meet at Costco and we pull up to Fort Collins right after that.
I would also need a ride to Costco, by the way. So
you guys drive out there. We leave one car at Costco and we all drive out.
Yeah, I'm off on Sunday, so I don't.
Do care. I have to answer right now?
No.
Okay.
Oh, you might be up in Fort Collins.
Yeah, I might go solo.
Yeah.
To that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 8 p.m., right? So if we leave at 4 from Costco, we get there at, like, 6?
Yeah. And if you're going up solo, then if you want to bring them and I can just drive straight from Costco, that's fine, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then we can just drive down with you.
I'm literally...
On the way back.
I'm picking up a puppy in Kansas City Saturday morning.
Are you excited?
Oh, yeah.
Are you, like, trepidatious?
No. It doesn't feel real till I have it.
Yeah.
Sarah's very, like...
Son of a kid.
Can you believe we're going to have a puppy? And I'm like... No, I don't know. The crate's there. That's cool.
Yeah.
I once I have it, I'm going to love it and take care of it and enjoy it. But it's not, I don't know. I never got excited for Christmas until Christmas Eve, you know?
Yeah.
Once it's there, I love it. But
dogs are great, too, because especially dogs that are puppies, because you get to develop a relationship. You also get to develop their behavior, because their behavior is kind of a reflection of you.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, fuck, dude. Oh, no, hold on. This puppy's going
to
be
You have
like
a week to get your shit together.
No. I'm saying this puppy's going to be sick, bro.
Oh, yeah.
This puppy's going to be tight, dude. Yeah, well, I teach you how to wear a backwards hat. And say,
that's cool.
Say cool words.
Yeah, smell those Lucky Strikes.
Can I have one?
Hey, did you smoke those when you lived in Spain? Is that what I heard that? I heard a rumor.
Hey, guys, I smoked cigarettes when I was in Rome.
I smoked Lucky Strikes when I was fucking...
I did. Lucky Strikes and Marlboro.
But is it... we smoke weed now?
Yeah, we can smoke weed. Let's wrap up the podcast. Let's say goodnight.
Oh.
Well, can I say I wanted to... There's like one story that I
say
have.
Say whatever word you want, no matter what it starts
All
with.
All right. It's not a story. It's just I recently got back on Bumble. I was banned. And so I... Like my phone number is attached to my Bumble account. So I sent a new confirmation code to my friend Chase. And I didn't tell him about it. And so I sent him the Bumble confirmation code, and then I texted him, and I was like, hey, can you send me that confirmation code? And he's like, what are you doing? Because he's essentially like a married man. And he's like, are you trying to frame me for something? And I was like, no, I just got banned off Bumble because I was trying to promote my OnlyFans.
Jesus.
And I was like, yeah, and I need to start a new marketing campaign. So can you please, you know, give me the confirmation code? And so he gave me an app, and it's like a burner cell phone app. And so I just got a new phone number and I registered that with my Bumble account. And then I ended the subscription because the subscription was like $100 a week after a free trial.
Jesus.
So, yeah. So I outsmarted that, got my new Bumble account, and now I'm promoting my OnlyFans again. So.
Yo, like flash forward to like 2 weeks when he's already spent $200 on this app that he didn't like cancel correctly.
I know. I'm afraid of that, but you
it's
know,
we'll
cross that I also won't face the consequences, so I don't care.
Right.
Smoking All right. a lucky.
Smoking a lucky.
All right, you want to go around the room? I don't know. What, you want to say something you're grateful for this week? Or yeah, something positive
something
like that?
Something we ate that we liked.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so something I ate that I liked. I really just like my hard-boiled egg routine.
Oh, dude, that's the whole cherry.
Oh, fuck. I'm sorry.
God damn it.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to do that at all. Fuck.
God,
For the listeners, Jacob Jonas just dropped the cherry onto Lisa Lane's shag carpet. Hopefully Lisa's not listening.
Cherry's a metaphor for the end of a cigarette.
Well, just fucking hit end record. No more grateful. No more gratitude.
Yeah, life is terrible.
Life is terrible. Everybody, my fingers are burnt now.
I'm grateful for... listen, I'm grateful for my friends.
Thank you for listening.
For the opportunities that I've been given, and I'm grateful for my intelligence.
Subscribe
and
to Dead Room Comedy.
My sly
and
behavior.
Dessert.
Follow us on Instagram.
Dessert once a month at most.
Love and patience. All right.
Thank you. Shout out to Slaughterhouse Studios.
Appreciate you,
Evan. You're the real one.
Evan Fitzgerald, folks.